702 World of Work.
It is indeed now time for the World of Work, Abel, where... Oh, there we go. World of Work is sponsored. Oh, wow. We've made it in life. And this World of Work edition is brought to you by, yes, the Youth Employment Service. Getting youth to work is everyone's business, Dawn. Visit yesforyouth.co.za. Hello, Dawn.
Hello. Good to be here. Thank
you. It's wonderful seeing you again. Dawn Klatsko, of course. You've heard her voice before. Last time you flooded her website. Now the pressure is on. We'll see whether we can be popular and helpful today again. She's a business and executive coach, professional speaker, and author of the excellent Art of the Suit. And we'll tell you how you can get a free copy because it is, what month is it? It's Christmas in August. It's lovely having you here, Dawn, and your muse, I think.
My muse, Woody.
Woody.
Yes. He has a cumulative
Is Woody a person?
Knowledge.
Does he have a point of view and interests?
He's my muse. He keeps me in check.
Does he have moral status similar to yours and mine?
A bit splintered.
A bit splintered. One of the most important issues that many of us struggle with is how to be resilient. Some of us are fatigued. It's just on the other side of mid-year, counting down to Christmas already. The economy makes us depressed. We've just been told you're not going to get a salary increase or maybe that you're being retrenched in your place of work. If there's ever a time for the South African labor force, if you're lucky enough to not be one of the 11 million that are unemployed or underemployed, to even have a job, there's no time like now for learning how to be resilient.
You're absolutely right. And the question is, what do you interpret as resilience? I think that is the big debate. We spoke the last time about coping with toxic individuals or toxic work environments and things that impact on you. And I think a lot of people, certainly the feedback that I got was, well, how do I protect myself? What do I do? And it comes back to its concept of resilience in the workplace. It's I work with a toolkit. There's a research body of work, and there are very specific guidelines of what it takes to be resilient.
When I think about resilience, I just think about it in simple colloquial terms. You've given it far more thought and research as an author and as a business coach. For me, resilience normally just has a word cloud association with it, Dawn. You know, things like, I don't know, not going bust very quickly and being, if I was a business or think of myself as a business as an individual, being future-proof and being able to withstand a downturn in the economy. But I also have to go to work as an individual employee.
Yes.
How do we begin to unravel this very slowly? I'm going to be
sure.
Led by you.
Thank you. You're absolutely right to reference business as the starting point because business has its own resilience requirements. So if you look at this very volatile environment that we're in high demand, businesses are having to change on the run. They are in a survival mode of their own. And so you don't really expect to have a sympathetic ear when you as the individual are saying, it's really tough. How do you expect me to do more with less resource? And I think that is the common complaint from a lot of people that I engage with, where they say, I don't know how to cope. I've now got additional responsibility. I'm too afraid to speak up. I might lose my job. How do I manage? And when you ask them what resources they're using, that's where resilience comes up. But when they interpret resilience, they will give, as you say in that word cloud, it's concepts like how quickly I pick myself up and dust myself off, how I cope with less sleep, where I grab something to eat. And when I mention concepts, and one of the dimensions of good resilience is, for example, to keep fit. And when you say to them, it's really important that you keep fit, they just laugh hysterically because they go, I've got no time.
You know, what
family.
I like about that, with permission, can I interrupt a little
Please.
Bit there, is that the first couple of things you listed and the things that I listed were crisis management.
Yes.
And it's interesting that you talk about fitness. It reminds me of how we need to still change the way we talk about accessing mental health practitioners and experts. Many of us don't. And when we do go and see a psychologist or psychiatrist or therapist or counselor, We tend to do so when we have already fallen. And we don't think about mental health in terms of preventative medicine. Are you, with your last example of fitness, trying to signal that resilience isn't only about thinking of worst case scenario and what the hell do I do when it's a 911 scenario?
Absolutely.
That even when you think you are flourishing and going through good times as a business or as an individual entrepreneur, or the entrepreneur that's taken your individuality to work, which is another topic we'll come back to in future, that resilience needs to be thought of under conditions of both crisis, but perhaps even more so when you think you're okay.
It's so interesting that you've picked up on that, Eusebius. The study that I'm referring to, there's a scale. It's an actual formal scale. It's been researched. This particular scale emerged. It was a woman in Australia, Catherine McEwen, that developed this body of work. And it began with a focus on emergency workers, people like firefighters, police, people who worked in constant high-stress environments. And the purpose of the research was to find out what the dimensions are that should be in place to protect them. So it's all, you're right, it is about not only physical well-being, but a mental state. And physical is, it relates to things like exercise, diet, sufficient sleep. And it's not opinion, it's formal researched fact of what you need to not only survive, but to thrive. Because you obviously want to excel in your performance so you don't lose your job. So it's a complex.
I thought if you worked in one of those fields, those emergency workers, that all you needed was bar one for a 25-hour day.
Oh,
are you telling me that? Are you telling me that I need actually to be a better fireman to actually have more than just a bar one on the go?
I don't want to be the one to dispel this myth. I love brands, you know. It's fantastic that they can attribute that benefit.
So what did you end up saying about that category of workers? And then we'll scale it up to people who are not under the same obvious physical pressure.
What's so interesting is that the same dimension, so there's seven dimensions to the individual. If you look at a team in an organization, it's slightly different.
Okay.
But, that word cloud that we were talking about earlier, the problem with that is all about self-sacrifice and it's not sustainable. You can't maintain that level forever and a day. Something's going to give. And too many people have a fear of admitting that there might be a deficiency.
Yeah.
So they'll never admit. That's why they wait too long before they get the help.
That's right.
And the damage is already quite intense. So just to use a phrase of burnout, you know how much is written and spoken about that. So maybe I can outline the seven dimensions and then you'll see it starts making a bit of sense of what you need to have in your possession or what you need to work on. So living authentically. So living authentically, some people say, yeah, right, but it's all about survival. You know, if I was going to be living authentically, I don't know, I'd be a captain of a plane. Living authentically is where your own personal values and knowing your personal values and you find a fit between your personal values and the organization in which you're working or the line of work that you do. So sometimes you may not feel that authentic. If you don't, and you can't express your values and the work that you do is directly in opposition to what you are as a human, you are going to fall down. You will burn out quite quickly. This links to the second dimension, which is finding your calling. And that some people talk about purpose. And they, once again, in the coaching environment, they'll laugh at you and they'll say, my purpose, well, my purpose is to pay the bills at the end of the month. But, you know, from everyone, so they're wonderful examples of, does the person that sweeps the floor in a store, as an example, understand their purpose and what role they play in the organization? A good organization, good leadership will ensure that every single person, regardless of your function, will understand purpose and how it can fit in with their own personal calling beyond the obvious things like earning an income, earning a salary. For me, the third one of maintaining perspective is absolutely key. There's a wonderful saying they talk about that thing that wakes you up in the early hours of the morning. They refer to it as the hour of the rat. And, you know, when you're working under pressure, when things are overwhelming you, you tend to lose perspective. It does drown you. And then in the hour of the rat, you're going to wake up and the things are going to be multiplied, magnified, the problems that face you. So this is about developing a skill where you can keep perspective. Sometimes you need to defrag at the end of a day or have the right person you can have a conversation with to get perspective back, especially if you've been working in a toxic environment. Mm.
Can I ask you this question? Mm. The things that you're outlining in the current context seem like luxuries rather than as accessible goods and values to try and make sure are present in my world of work. And I'm contrasting what you are saying, recognizing that what you're saying seems to me to be prudent from a health point of view.
Yes.
To my callers on the open line this morning saying, you see this, I can't go on holiday this year, and my kids have to understand. I moved out of a bad part of Jersey. I'm now in a slightly better part of Jersey. My cost of living has increased, and all I worry about is paying the fees of a school that is now close to my house in this nice new area. Another woman calls in, similar kind of story. People are trying to make ends meet. And it seems that when we want to make ends meet, the idea of authenticity, having a kind of values fit even in the job space between my true self and what it is that I'm doing, that seems like something that we can only afford under conditions that are not the conditions that we are living in currently.
So to survive, you should strive, because first of all, resilience and being in a stressful situation is not a trait. Mm. It's a situation.
Okay.
So all of these dimensions are very practical, and I almost hate mentioning them or listing them because they do sound like sheer luxuries.
Yeah.
But let me give you an example based on what you're saying with that family, that individual who's moved and striving to give their child a better life. So one of the dimensions of resilience is recommends building up a network and working in a collaborative manner. Now, what happens in families is the parents carry all the stress and the pressure, and they don't collaborate inside the family. Mom or dad comes home exhausted and highly stressed, and they go quiet. There's no discussion. They're trying to protect the children. Mm. Instead of having an open conversation and creating teamwork and collaborating with the family to all pull together. So when the family all buy in and everyone has an appreciation of the situation, that's when you can move through this high stress phase and build greater resilience as a unit. All of these dimensions, like the one is mastering stress. Everyone goes, yeah, stress. Mm. We can't get rid of stress, but you can certainly do things as a team at work or a team at home to help manage and counterbalance those stress components.
And crucially, Dawn, I mean, I don't know if this is trite, but maybe it's important to be explicit about it, that it is a kind of investment. You may think you don't have time to think about diet and you're going to have the bar one on the go. You may think that you don't have time to think about building up a network that you can tap into as one of the tools in your resilience toolkit. But actually, precisely when the proverbial poo hits the economic fan, that's the stuff that may determine, as horribly evolutionary as this sounds, the difference between you coming through okay and your neighbor not.
Very much so. I have so many situations, Eusebius. You know, as you know, I come from the advertising world, and we used to have a saying of creativity is not necessarily the sole property of just people who carry the title of creatives. Mm. And I listen to people where they've put effort, and you'll never have all seven dimensions in play at one time. But there may be one thing you do really well.
Sure.
So if you look at yourself and you go, how come I do that one thing really well? How can I apply that same discipline to other areas? Mm. That's where a lot of the answers come. I speak to parents where they've engaged with their families. And you know how clever children are? And sometimes the best solution of how a family can cope comes out of the mouths of babes, where these wonderful little people make suggestions to their parents who've got all the experience and go, but mum, why don't we just?
That's so true.
So, you know, why didn't you ask for help instead of trying to be the hero?
100%. Give us a call. I hope this resonates with you. Sadly, I know it will with many of you because we are living such stressful lives because of a range of conditions in which you and I and Dawn are implicated in the world and here in South Africa, exacerbated by factors that are peculiar to the economic environment that we are currently in. Are you resilient? Do you know what the term means? Is this conversation helpful for you? Are there tips you want from Dawn? You want to share what you're going through? You're not sure how to name what you're experiencing? Or perhaps something has worked for you. Let's make the circle bigger and also just put into this discussion other things that you have found as not necessarily traits, but as part of your strategies for how to make sure that you are able to flourish, notwithstanding the hurly-burly of life. 702 World of Work. 25 minutes before noon, and we're in conversation with Dawn Klatko. She's been on the show several times, and excellent as always. Today we're asking the question, what does resilience mean practically, and how do we go about becoming more resilient? And this is a critically important question, probably not just in the work of world for that matter, Dawn, but also in all of our lives, given the tensions that we are going through currently. One of the things that's easy to deprioritize when you are stressed out is excellence and focusing on your own excellence because you go into survival mode. Let's speak into that and unravel the importance of not doing so.
So I think it's absolutely crucial that you do. And I think what happens, you need to visualize for a moment a stressful work environment. Mm. And what happens, for example, why collaboration is such a key element in how you perform and how you become resilient is that people become fearful and keep things close to their chest. So they turn into little silos. Mm. Instead of being collaborative and looking for team effort. So what you need to do is not listen to the detractors. I call them ground feeders. You know, at the bottom of the ocean, there are these little animals that kick up mud as a form of protection.
Yeah.
So you'll find in a stressful environment, people will kick up a lot of mud, and there's this collective groaning and moaning and complaining. And what you want to do is separate yourself from that and just focus on your own excellence. Resilience is not a trait. It's a way that you surround yourself with disciplines, and you won't achieve all of them at the same time. Just focus on your own excellence, how marvelous you are. And in the state of pressure, people lose sight not only of the disciplines, as we said, like your diet and exercise, but you lose sight of just how special you are and what talents you've got. You start trying to double guess and trying to strategize survival. And we lose. That's a fundamental talent skill that you lose. If you just focus on excellence and just being the very best that you can be as a human and in the job delivery, you'll become an asset. Mm. You'll be less likely to suffer the consequences of the economic factors that we're under.
Well, that depends on something else being in place, however.
Yes.
And let's keep it real. You are part of a team at work.
Yes.
And when everyone is under stress and the business numbers are not looking great, there may not be optimal conditions for the fifth of the seven dimensions that you were talking about to be there, which is interacting cooperatively, a kind of mutual support where I know that I need to be on the lookout for Dawn, focusing on our excellence because the company depends on that and vice versa. When that kind of mutuality and mutual concern in the service of magic that we all benefit from is no longer there because everyone is stressed out. And again, when we are stressed out, it's interesting the things that we think are disposable, such as a mentoring moment, such as a checking in moment. Those are the things that we think are not part of core KPIs and core products. How do we make sure that we don't intuitively for the right reason, but ultimately shooting yourself in the foot, underinvest in the things that are actually needed to make sure that there's resilience, institutional resilience, but also me and my team?
It begins at the leadership level. So not to flog a very tired old phrase, but the fish rots from the head. And the support, and it's not just a criticism, the support actually needs to begin with the leader, so that the leader is managing their own resilience. Mm. If they are resilient and got the right disciplines and right vision and the right sanity in place, they are going to cascade down next to the team and then from team into individual. So it has to be a top-down and bottom-up exercise. And those are the companies that will survive better in the toughest of times.
I don't think you're flogging a tired horse. I think that is missing in many companies. People may not have the guts to speak about it, but it's missing. Mm. And one of the points that you make in your writing is that an important reason why it's sometimes missing and why the kind of cooperation, not to be nice as an end in itself, but actually because that is the best way to optimize the work environment so that we can all perform in terms of the value proposition, is the kind of what you call high threat work environment that we live in. What do you mean by that? And how do we guard against not being our own worst nightmares at the team level, at leadership level?
So let me give you a practical example. When it comes to the individual, we're talking about things like staying healthy. Mm-hmm. But in a team, we talk about self-care. Mm. And you kind of go, well, how does this work? So if you take a team of people, not everyone is going to be exhausted all at the same time. If you're working cooperatively and you employ the concept of self-care, it's to care for one another and for the person that's a bit stretched at a point in time to get some additional support from another area. So that is how the same principles apply, but with a slightly different focus. In team environments, we talk about the team being robust. So how does a team? It's about pulling together collectively and topping up or compensating where one area may be weak or wobbling at any point in time. Mm. And I know that it may sound a little bit idealistic, but there are practical examples. And well, fortunately for people like myself, it often requires a coached transition. So the crucial thing is that whatever the situation is, the fact is you can create new habits. Mm. People just sometimes find it easier to lapse back into more of a kind of victim and it's happening to me rather than investing the time and energy into creating a new habit.
Mm. How does one deal with failure and not let that undermine your commitment to remain resilient? And maybe failure is the wrong word, but let's be honest, some people will feel like, I haven't met my to-dos for the day, for the month. I had a quarterly target set by me. The boss is on my neck. I better take a couple of days off because I can't cope with the pressure. And I thought I was resilient, but actually I need to go and ask Dr. Eusebius for a prescription for Prozac.
Please don't do that. It's a last resort. Because
he's not a real doctor.
I know him. No, he's a very good doctor. No, but so it comes back to maintaining perspective. Mm. So, you know, you can talk yourself down or talk yourself up, and it's not easy. You can't always have the I recommend to individuals you need to find a safe confessor. And sometimes the safe confessor is not your work colleague that you thought was your buddy. Because if you're both under equal pressure, they may well stab you in the back. So sometimes you need a sounding board, and I don't want to be as ambitious as saying a mentor, but someone that you can just sound off to that is going to give you, they should be level-headed and really care about you so that they will give you perspective, help you maintain perspective.
That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point. And because they're not implicated in the workplace, they can give you a empathetic viewpoint, but a detached one.
Yes.
Which you can't get from another colleague, let's be honest.
And there are ways that you manage that. So even in establishing that relationship, agree on the terms of engagement. Mm. You're not asking them to give you an appraisal. You're asking them to just listen and tell you, give you a sense of sanity.
Yeah.
Just help you get that rudder even again.
Mm. The last thing I wanted to ask you, Dawn, which again is one of our future topics that we'll be more explicit about, but I think it does make an appearance, at least tangentially, in this discussion, and you flagged it in your preparation as well. When things become stressful at work and your resilience has been tested to the max, the individuality that you've already foregrounded can sometimes recede into the background. You are very passionate in your work around the importance, again, because it makes business sense and not just ethical sense, of personal brands being taken to work. But I might end up being so jaded that I really just care about the business brand and where I fit in as a cog in the wheel, and don't give a damn about such lofty ideals as taking my personal brand to work.
So for my, I have to confess that I used to be really bad at that, and I used to go into operational mode. I remember a period of time in business where I hadn't taken a break, a holiday, for 4 years.
Wow.
I was a different person. I'd lost sight of myself. But you have to do, they're very practical solutions. So fortunately for me, and I've surrounded myself with really good, sincere, authentic friends. Those friends come in and grab me out of that deep tunnel when I tend to get back into survival mode and losing myself, losing my brand in it. So it takes, as I said, Eusebius, you know, you have to develop habits, new habits for yourself. I remember having a conversation with a client, and we collaborated to design a technique of how she could change just her whole persona from the time she left the office to when she got home, because the pressure in the office was impacting on her at home.
Mm.
So she traveled alone in her car from the office to home. She had 45 minutes commute. And we developed a technique. She developed a new habit of having out loud conversations with herself and talking herself back up. So the moment she walked back in the door, she wasn't the grumpy mom any longer, that she was back to her authentic brand and herself. And it made a massive difference. So that's just your own conversation.
Absolutely.
Use the language you want, scream and shout. Don't jump about, you're busy driving. But, you know, just find a way.
Yeah.
Based on your personality, because we're all individuals.
Mm.
But preferably, don't default to chemical enhancement or food that's going to give you a sugar peak and then a drop.
Yeah.
That, it just doesn't benefit you. It sincerely doesn't.
Go to spinning with Dawn.
Come to my spin.
Because that's what she also
great
does. She's
music.
A spinning instructor as well. So I don't know where she gets all the energy from, but it's all part of her personal brand. As always, you've been absolutely generous with your incredible research-based insights and an excellent business and executive coach that you are.
Thank you.
Comes with free goodies, as always. Please go to theartofthesuit.com. Many of you did the last time. If you register there, you get a free e-book copy of The Art of the Suit. I can vouch for the book. It is excellent. It's practical. And it will help many of you as you are navigating your careers as individuals. Really, really, really practical. I was telling Dawn outside the studio just this morning of one very important practical insight. For some of you who are obviously OCD and that kind of thing, and you're obsessive about detail and everything being in place, some of the stuff you might already do, but everyone will find something of value in there. I, for example, have learned the importance of paying attention to the numbers. There's a chapter on that. I've also learned the value in the workplace of documenting things and not just let conversations in the corridor end there. And I'm telling you now, it is incredible. Every single chapter in that book is useful, and it's
Thank
for free.
Serious.
Just go to theartofthesuit.com. And there's also a chance to register, if you like this conversation, for a webinar, which will take place on the 12th of August. And the best way to do so is either to register on the website or to email you at
dawn@theartofthesuit.com.
And that's Dawn as in the lotion.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for coming on, Dawn.
Thank you very much.
You will always remember who gave you your first chance. You are where you are today because of it. With the Youth Employment Service, you can offer that life-changing opportunity to someone else. Over one-third of youth in South Africa are unemployed, but you can be part of the solution with YES. They have already created 18,500 new opportunities for youth to work. Say yes, because the cost of saying no is your and our future. YES, supported by government and labor, driven by business. Visit yes4youth, that's the number 4, yes4youth.co.za.